Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
See, I'll leave with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do.
532, hearing is the public hearing to consider the request for exemption from the Escambia Children's Trust.
What I want you to understand is data is where we're going. I can't drive anything without data. We had a workshop, we met, and the school district actually came in with some pretty heavy data related to their corridors of concern, which actually aligned perfectly with our report card and data that we were mining on our side.
This is Lindsay Cannon, the executive director, relatively new executive director of the Escambia Children's Trust, talking to Stephen Berry and the Board of County Commissioners in Escambia. This is to schedule the hearing to consider whether the commission is going to grant an exception to the Children's Trust for the tax increment money that is legally due to the CRA, but which was given to the Escambia Children's Trust, and then they're supposed to pay back to the CRA, but they did not. This is an accounting error that they didn't discover, that the Board of County Commissioners, that the county did not discover for 3 years. So it's about $1.5 million, about $500,000 a year. And, you know, this is the question of, well, why did we vote that tax in the first place? Did we vote for it for the CRA, or did we vote for it for kids? Even if it went back to the CRA, would it then have to be used for kids within that context? Who's going to make that decision? And you may recall that when it first came up, they didn't even want to schedule a hearing. They didn't even want to hear about this. They figured, you know, they are owed the money, and that's really all there was to it. At the time, they were very, the board in particularly was very dismissive of the request by the Children's Trust. Hey, give us some time to think about this. We don't really know what's going on either. Can you just delay a little bit? And of course, we're going to have to do a hearing. And their lawyer got up and explained the law. And, you know, basically the board said,
I think by taking A, B, and C, we're affirming that the board expects to be paid.
Was a little bit curt for my tastes. You know, we expect our money. Okay, well, let's have a little more conversation. Can we not work together on it? Anyway, so Lindsay Cannon is back there. And again, this is not the actual discussion of whether to grant the exception. This was the, well, you're forced by law to have a hearing about whether to grant an exception, which they, I think, were doing very reluctantly because they'd rather just take the money and then do with it their ideas. But Lindsay Cannon says, hey, we've got some really good stuff we can do with this.
Board's desire is to do it's called whole school, whole community, whole child models in 10 of our schools. Those schools are Montclair Elementary, Global Learning Academy, Warrington Elementary, O.J. Sims, Inslee Elementary, Brentwood Elementary, Oak Crest Elementary, Sherwood Elementary, Navy Point Elementary, and Lincoln Park.
And imagine those 10 kind of community partnership schools or schools of opportunity, whatever you want to call them. Imagine them being as successful as like CA Weiss, Pine Forest, and Bellevue, where we're either already done or in the process of doing that same thing, because these are problematic schools.
We know these are FD and toggling on that CD realm of schools. They need some support. We'd like to put that money into action. That was our desire as we're moving forward. So the funds that we're talking about are in the CRA. Those are ones that we want to use to invest in nonprofits to go in and do this work in these schools.
Which is exactly why we put in the Escambia Children's Trust. I mean, you know, we had a conversation about whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, but certainly it was for this purpose. Taking the kids who are most at risk, helping them get the needs met that make it possible for them to have a better education. These community partnership schools are a great resource for doing that because it takes all the problems that these kids encounter and says, okay, whoever's responsible for them isn't the issue. We can solve it. Let's solve this. Let's get them fed. Let's get them medical care. Let's get them psychological and behavioral counseling if that's what they need so that they can be successful in the school environment because they're not getting this stuff outside of school. Let's do it for them in school. And so she says, look, we can. This is big, good stuff.
What we're going to do with these 10 schools is a tide that can lift all boats if we do it right and we do it in partnership. We're not here to be adversarial. I can't do anything about what happened in the past. I can't do anything about that. But I can focus forward with what we've got. I want to do all 10 schools. Our board wants to do all 10 schools. We got to have funding for that.
So she says, look, this $1.5 million will take care of this or do a significant chunk of taking care of this. I think it's like $300,000 per school. So, you know, that would take care of a lot, like half that price tag, basically. And they have other money they can use for this as well, so they can fund it. And it's, I mean, this seems like a great thing. How do you think the commission is going to respond? How do you think Commissioner Barry is going to respond? I'll tell you in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are heading into Pensacola from Pace, you can expect to see a huge backup on Woodbine Road going all the way to Guernsey Road. And again, on Chemukla Highway at the intersection of Highway 90 as well. Once you get on 90, you might experience some slowdowns over the bridge, but looking clear into Pensacola, traffic is building up on Davis Highway and Johnson Avenue right outside the hospital there, though. And if you're coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you were looking pretty good. Just some slight slowdowns in between Avalon and the Bob Sykes Bridge, but clear all the way into Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulkway Service is now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So back to the Escambia County Commission. The pre-talk, not the talk during the actual conversation, the hearing is scheduled for, I forget when the date was. They had to push it because of some other issues. But the point is they're going to have it. But this is the discussion about scheduling the hearing. And Lindsay Cannon has come and said, hey, we got this great idea. Let's do these 10 community partnership schools or schools of opportunity. This money can really do a lot of good for exactly what the voters put this tax in place to do. You would think the reaction would be, oh, man, that sounds awesome. The school board's in. You guys are in. This will help a lot of kids. We can do it. Stephen Barry?
I do want to be clear. Whatever the board does tonight and you know, whether we're, you know, whether we were going to vote tonight or not, I don't know that I care for the narrative of, well, if the board, you know, if the board says the money should come back to the board, then we're not supporting kids and education in schools.
Sure.
That this is a financial decision. It's not an emotional kids in schools narrative. It's a policy decision of where revenue that's created from our constituents should go.
So instead of being excited about the prospect of a really neat plan that'll help kids, he's upset that it makes the board look bad if they say no?
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
What? What? It's just, I mean, I agree the money does belong to them. They are entitled to it by law. But it's just such a weird take.
I don't know that that's the angle. It's a policy, and that should be the basis of the decision. If the board were to make the decision that the money should come back to the board, which is where the money should have gone to start with, I don't think that that's debated. That's not the board taking action to take programming out of schools.
I mean, he just seems more worried that it's going to give them a publicity black eye.
Regardless, sure. I don't know that that's the. I don't think we're going to have the hearing tonight. But I don't like the framing of it. That it's like you're pitching us for your program, and if we were to move forward bringing the funds back to our CRAs, we're precluding you from putting programming into schools that's needed. I don't know that I like that.
I mean, I had to talk about the other day with the whole issue of the Chappie James Monument and, oh, danger, danger, you're, you know, confronting the county commissioners. And, you know, then we talked about all the stuff with Ramey Edler and how, you know, several years ago, 5 years ago, we had that same kind of reaction that it was the narrative is what was worrying him.
No, it is about us because you allow the narrative to sound as if the board is complicit in something that's gone on, that the board has not been complicit in anything that has gone on.
It's the narrative, it's the framing, it's the impression, it's the how will this make us look, and did you come and, you know, properly make your inquiry of us? This might be unfair, okay? You tell me if I'm being unfair. The way I heard it when I first heard it was, you remember that scene in A Few Good Men where, you got Tom Cruise is asking for the flight logs for this flight that didn't exist to transport the private off the base. And he's talking to Jessup, you know, played by Jack Nicholson, and they're at breakfast. And he says, you know, can I have the flight logs? And, you know, Jack Nicholson's character is,
you have to ask me nicely. You see, Danny, I can deal with the bullets and the bombs and the blood. I don't want money and I don't want medals. What I do want is for you to stand there in that girly white uniform and with your Harvard mouth extend me some friggin' courtesy.
He does not say friggin' in the original version.
You gotta ask me nicely.
That's how it struck me is, you know, don't present this as some adversarial thing. We're going to make us look bad if we say no to your request, Miss Cannon. You got to ask us nicely. You know, make us all look good. We can all have a win here. Don't make us look bad in the public as if we're going to say no to kids. You know, you've struck the wrong approach here. The framing is bad. The narrative is bad. That's how it struck me. Now, maybe I'm being uncharitable. Call me out on it if you think I am. 437-1620. I just thought it was such a weird take because what I thought was, you know, here's another way you could respond. You could say, you know what? That sounds like a great program that you're talking about. Do you guys have the funds you need for that already? How much funding do you have in reserve? Is that able to, you know, would that really be in jeopardy if we don't grant you this exception? Because here's something else we've been thinking about is we'd like to send kids to the National Flight Academy. This is something that Jeff Bergosh is big on, to help all of the most impoverished kids get some STEM education. What a great program. Wonderful program. I don't know that that's as high and best of use as the 10 schools of opportunity. But you could say, you know, this is kind of what we had in mind. This is, you know, our plan. Can we do both? Or maybe there's some third plan. You know, maybe there's other things. But it's just such a real... You ask us, now you're going to make us look bad if we say no? I don't think I like that framing very well. I don't know. Maybe I've watched too many commission meetings, and I feel like I know the psychology a little bit too well. But there seems to be this continuous thread note of show us respect, make us look good, honor us in our position, don't challenge us, don't disagree with us in public, and or else. You know, and it seems like there's been an awful lot of or else lately. 722 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
40 days ago, Christians everywhere celebrated Easter Sunday. We rejoiced in our risen Savior. Now it's time to rejoice in our ascended Christ. Today is Ascension Thursday. Acts 1 records that Jesus was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. His ascension was his coronation. It was God the Father saying to his Son, "Job well done." Christ's ascension hollers, "Lucifer, you lose." At his ascension, Jesus' enemies have become his footstool, and now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Right now, Jesus is praying for the redeemed, and as the master carpenter, he's preparing mansions for his children. On this Ascension Thursday, be sure to take time to read Luke's accounts of Christ's ascension, and let your faith be strengthened by the Word of God.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Join Bike Pensacola for their annual escorted slow ride through downtown Pensacola, Friday evening at 6. See Slow Ride Pensacola on Facebook for more information. Remember to help stamp out hunger this Saturday. Leave healthy, non-perishable food donations by your mailbox. The National Association of Letter Carriers helped make this annual event the biggest single-day effort to help those in need of food. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Down your weapons!
No one, but no one, dies in the palace without a command from the Emperor.
Strokes lately. Just, you know, not necessarily every song is my favorite, but kind of one of their best of compilation things. I was like, oh, that's a good song. That's a good song. That's a good song. So I'll take it. 7:25 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Flash Gordon, by the way, in case you were wondering. Oh, somebody, I have a fact check. I got to apologize. I made a mistake. He wasn't asking for the Tower Logs and the Few Good Men. He was asking for the transfer order. Tower Logs came later. Thank you for pointing that out to me. And I texted back and said, I love it when somebody's as much of a movie nerd as I am. And then they said, Andrew, no one is as much of a movie nerd as you are. Also fair. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you were heading southbound on Avalon Boulevard, there's a vehicle crash with a roadblock right at the intersection of San Pablo Street. That is a road blockage, so expect some delays through there. And on Gulf Beach Highway, there's a vehicle crash with a roadblock as well at the intersection of Gulf Beach Highway and Weller Avenue. That is backing up traffic quite a bit. If you're coming in from Pace or Milton, you can expect to see a lot of traffic built up on Woodbine Road and Chemuckla Highway at their respective intersections with Highway 90. And if you're coming into Pensacola from Cantonment, southbound on Highway 29, that is showing quite a lot of traffic building up, particularly in between West 9 Mile Road and the intersection of I-10. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The U.S. has stopped funding weapons for Israel over concerns about a large-scale military offensive in the Gaza city of Rafah. U.S. officials say the move is to prevent massive civilian casualties as ceasefire negotiations continue. TikTok says it's planning to label artificial intelligence-generated content uploaded from certain platforms, and that should start immediately. The social media company's head of operations and trust and safety tells ABC News that while users and creators are excited about AI, they want to fight misinformation. And I'm sure some people are going to be excited about this one, Andrew. There's a new version of The Office in the works. Variety is reporting that the latest version of the show will be a new mockumentary with a brand new cast and not a reboot of the NBC show. The report says the new show will see the documentary crew that followed Dunder Mifflin's Scranton branch now following a Midwestern newspaper office. And that surprises me because being from the Midwest, I can't imagine anybody being in a newspaper office.
Yeah, I think the whole fallacious premise here is finding one.
That's right.
That's, you know, that's going to be the
maybe
challenge.
Maybe a tumbleweed blowing
historical,
through. That's about
you know,
it.
Set in the 40s or something. maybe a tumbleweed blowing through. That's funny. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:28 on News Radio Pensacola. Getting texts in here, you know, people. I love that y'all pay attention. Somebody says, I hope that Lindsay Cannon doesn't accidentally go on vacation and get unhired, like Rami Adler when she went out on, you know, leave and got unhired. Yeah, and that, you know, the way some of the commissioners are responding to this stuff, it's just it's not good. I'm summarizing in general without reading in particular. Okay. Oh, here we go. This is, I'll read you some both sides. Okay. No, your analogy is right, Andrew. You know, you gotta ask me nicely is the right way to think about this.
You have to ask me nicely.
Because Commissioner Barry is full of himself. He doesn't care that people see right through his shady land development deals, but now he cares about his image in this education scenario. Somebody else says, I have to agree with Commissioner Barry. There's a manipulation being pulled at the heartstrings. And if they say no to children, then they look bad. The real question to them should be about the Escambia Children's Trust. Have this plan for the 10 schools prior to being notified that they owed the county the taxes. I think the plan was in formation. In fact, I think Lindsay Cannon was working on the other side of that plan when she was with the agency that she, before she came over to the Children's Trust. So I think this was in the works before that announcement. Yes, I do think that that's true. Is it playing on the heartstrings to say, let us keep the money so we can use for this purpose? I don't know. To me, it just seems like, well, this is what we want to do with it, and it would be really effective, you know? So let's use the money that way, since the possibility of using it in some other way is a little bit more dubious and uncertain. We want to make sure that we're helping kids, and, you know, anyway. But also, there's a backdrop here. The backdrop is that the Children's Trust has had a lot of problems and hasn't been all that effective, and certainly the perception of them is very bad in the public. There's a lot of people who I would not vote to reauthorize that tax, and so, which is not Lindsay Cannon's fault. She's brand new to the job of being the executive director, and I have all the hope in the world for her. I think she's doing a good job so far. But there's a, you know, there's a little bit of a bias against the Escambia Children's Trust to begin with that they're trying to fix and that the county commission might be trying to, you know, play off of a little bit too.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Stormy Daniels returned to the witness stand today for more cross-examination by attorneys for Donald Trump.
The defense is trying to undermine Stormy's credibility and cast her as an extortionist who once, remember, denied the affair. Quote, am I correct that you hate President Trump? Asked Nicholas. Yes, said Stormy. You want him to go to jail, right? I want him to be held accountable.
Fox's Eric Shawn. The criminal trial resumes at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. 196 Republicans, 163 Democrats deliver House Speaker Mike Johnson a huge victory, defeating Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who tried to boot him from the position.
I don't hold grudges. I got to work with everybody. And I told her last night before we left the floor, let's move on, Marjorie. I'm okay with this. Let's move on.
Speaker Johnson earlier on Fox and Friends. And close to 80 million of the paths of severe storms in the eastern and southern part of that in the U.S. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. It's 80 degrees right now and mostly cloudy skies this morning. Well, if you were driving on I-10 just over the state line yesterday, you might have come across a massive police presence.
That's right. The Baldwin County Sheriff's Office says deputies caught up with 58-year-old Mara Nunez, who was wanted for the death of her boyfriend in Hillsborough County. Deputies say they made a traffic stop near the mile marker 40 on I-10 at around 3 p.m. After making the stop, Nunez fatally shot herself. Hillsborough County authorities say she killed her boyfriend at around 7 o'clock in the morning and then immediately fled the scene.
And that's News Radio's Joe Ford reporting. The Pensacola Downtown Improvement Board says it's long past time to do something about the noise disturbances that have plagued downtown businesses and residents.
It's very loud and obnoxious, and it drives customers away.
People do live down here. Palafox, with all the buildings, it's just like a tunnel. When you rev those engines, and I've stood down there, it's almost unbearing sometimes, with especially the motorcycle.
According to Channel 3, the DIB is hiring off-duty police officers to crack down on racing, reckless driving, and loud car noises. PPD's Mike Wood says there won't be any warnings because, for the most part, people already know that it's illegal. The Okaloosa County NAACP joining the call now for the release of body cam footage connected to the death of senior airman Roger Fortson last week.
I'm just concerned as to what happened. And why it happened and how it happened. We've been told that the investigation has been turned over to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and so we're going to remain engaged to the outcome of that investigation.
That's President Sabu Williams, who talked with Channel 3. Now, this comes as Fortson's family has now hired civil rights attorney Ben Crump. The Okaloosa Sheriff's Office says Fortson was holding a gun, and the deputy acted in self-defense after responding to his apartment for a domestic disturbance call. Crump, however, says deputies were at the wrong apartment, and Fortson asked who it was when deputies knocked, didn't see anybody at the other side of the door, and was shot walking back to his living room. Well, the Alabama legislature has passed a new exhibition driving bill. House Bill 474 will allow law enforcement agencies to use video from traffic cameras as evidence to impound vehicles for up to 48 hours. Those arrested for exhibition driving can also be charged with misdemeanors or a Class B felony, and if somebody is killed, injured, or property damage is caused by their vehicle. Governor Kay Ivey has promised to sign that new bill into law. And it is 7:34, News Radio Pensacola. Let's go ahead and get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jimmy.
If you're heading southbound on Avalon, and you're trying to get onto I-10, there is about a mile and a half backup due to a vehicle crash. So expect some delays if you're trying to take Avalon to I-10 coming in from Milton. Coming in from Pace, we are seeing a lot of backup on Woodbine Road. That's typical of this time in the morning, but a lot of traffic actually building up at the end of the Escambia Bay Bridge coming into Pensacola. Specifically if you're trying to stay on and get on Davis Highway rather than take Scenic. On Highway 29, showing a lot of traffic buildup coming southbound, going all the way from about 10 Mile Road to the I-10 intersection, so expect some delays there. And if you were on Blue Angel Parkway, or Gulf Beach Highway, there's a vehicle crash that is backing up traffic for about a mile going eastbound into Pensacola. And Blue Angel Parkway, looking like we're backed up going north and southbound on Blue Angel, going all the way from I-10, or actually the 98 intersection, all the way from the Gulf Beach Highway intersection. So expect some delays in there as well. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a nice partly sunny sky day today, high near 86 degrees. Small chance of rain in the afternoon, rain chance increasing overnight tonight. Temperatures tonight dropping near 71 degrees, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. A few storms could be strong, with our main concern being gusty winds. As you go into Friday, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms through the morning hours. We will be watching for that chance of some stronger storms. They will move out by the afternoon, high near 82. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it's 80 in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, 80 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio, Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A recent study from The Street says that prices at select fast food chains are rising faster than inflation. The firm compared menu prices from 2019 and 2024 for several restaurants. Leading the way with the highest increases in the past 5 years is McDonald's, with prices having doubled in the last decade. Chick-fil-A is also among the chains with the highest increases. An eight-piece nugget has surged roughly 96%. Applebee's and IHOP have been losing low-income customers, but parent company Dine Brands is hoping its deals can help the chains compete with fast food chains. Dine reported disappointing first quarter earnings and revenue, yet reiterated its full year forecast. Dine Brands CEO John Payton told CNBC that full service restaurants, fast food chains, and even eating at home are competing for diners' dollars. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy, with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon, the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
We used to argue about whose turn it was to clean the gutters, but then I had Leaf Filter gutter protection installed.
Wait, I told you Leaf Filter had free inspections and estimates and a lifetime guarantee.
Meaning we never have to argue about whose turn it is to clean the gutters again.
But I visited leaffilter.com/beacon first.
No, I did.
It doesn't matter who. Visit leaffilter.com/beacon to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is a public information officer for PPD. Always joins us on Thursdays. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we had a pretty concerning incident take place downtown on Monday. We had a woman that got shot in the head, right? But we have now had an arrest. Can you tell us what happened here?
Yeah, that was early Monday morning near the intersection of I and Intendencia Street. A shot was fired, and this young lady was struck in the head. And, you know, a lot of times when you hear something like that, it's fatal. But I've seen more than once when a round strikes someone in the head, depending on the angle of the way the shot was fired and or the caliber of the bullet, that can be a survivable injury. And unfortunately, in this case, it was.
Thank God. Right? I mean, thank God for that. But you guys, as you always do, following up on homicides or attempted homicides, you aggressively go to find the person, and you have now found who you think it was?
Absolutely. Her name was Zaconium Dees. She did turn herself in to us, and the investigators are still, I'm sure they're going to be speaking with her, trying to find a motive and things like that. But, you know, they worked on this ever since it happened. They didn't lay down on it. They didn't put it down. They were on it the whole time, and which is what they do on all these big cases. And they were able to identify a suspect very quickly.
A little bit of an unusual case in that it was a woman who shot a woman, right? That's kind of not something we see much as often as other kinds of crimes, right?
No, but again, I don't know what the motive was or anything like that, if there was any sort of relation or if it was family. I have no idea. So that's something we'll have to get back to.
Okay, so we don't really even know how to categorize this, whether this was part of some kind of retaliation or something related to, you know, other illegal behavior, or whether it was sort of domestic violence or family violence or just a dispute. We just really don't know at this point. Is that right?
Yeah, most of the time on these type situations, the two know each other. It's just there's a lot of different reasons how they know each other.
Gotcha. Also, a fairly high-profile story in the news over the last week was this large amount of jewelry stolen out of a kiosk at Cordova Mall, right?
Yeah, this individual was, from what I understand, was waiting for a permanent location inside the mall to continue his business, and now it's been hit pretty hard. We're looking for information on suspects on that, and it was a very big incident. It was not a robbery. It was it happened when the kiosk was closed, but the mall was still open. So investigators are on that one as well.
Okay, so technically a burglary then, I suppose, not a robbery because there's no force or second person present. It seems to me, my assumption is that inside the mall there's a number of security cameras. Do we have security footage of the event?
Well, I'm sure that investigators are looking into that. That's information that I don't have, but we do know that there's cameras throughout the mall in different locations. So it's an ongoing investigation, and I would be out of line commenting on anything further than that.
Okay, and I assume that if it's useful, if it's the appropriate time based on the investigation to release that to the public, you will gladly do so, as you have done many other times, because that's what lets the people off Facebook see, oh, that's who we're looking for? Okay, I know that person. You know, so I trusted all that in due time. The mayor, I was talking with him yesterday about this, but to me, these community engagement specialists seems like a raging success. Several hundred contacts, you might describe, and then within that, more than 100 or 200 actual services applied for, helping people to get services they didn't know that they needed. This seems like a big good thing.
This is a huge success. And, you know, maybe this is something that can be expanded in the future. I don't know. But the two that we have now, they stay busy. They stay engaged. They're helping a lot of people on a daily basis. They think outside the box, and they're able to do that. They're able to concentrate on this because they're not answering calls for service like officers do. They have to break away and go answer emergency calls, where our specialists here are able to stay with people and listen to them, listen to their story, and find out best how to help them. And, you know, a lot of times they're just needing transportation, funding for transportation to another city where their family is. So things like that are done. And lots of problems are being solved, especially in the downtown area.
It is the model here that they are roaming on their own, that they are always partnered with a cop? Are they, you know, is it a call to service and then they get assigned because it seems like it might fit the situation? What is their daily activity like?
They are in a vehicle, an unmarked car. Of course, they're civilian personnel, they're professional staff, and they are
out with they have our radio. They can hear the calls. They can be dispatched to a call, and they do go with officers on occasion, but not all the time. Sometimes the situation calls for just the specialists who are in plain clothes, and you know, a lot of people are intimidated simply by the uniform, and you don't get as much accomplished as you as these individuals do in plain clothes. So they are able to answer certain calls on their own, and if, of course, if there's a problem, if it escalates, then officers are right around the corner.
Okay, so they are operating on their own, but obviously in close partnership with your police officers if needed, but they're not deputized, they're not sworn officers or anything like that.
That's correct.
All right. Very interesting. I'll come back to Mike in just a sec. We're talking to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you were coming into Pensacola from Pace or Milton, that traffic on Woodbine has cleared up significantly, but you are still seeing a significant backup right before the end of the Escambia Bay Bridge coming into Pensacola, clearing up as you get onto that is Davis Highway. Or 9 Mile Road, rather. On Davis, you could experience some slowdowns building up, particularly outside the hospital at the intersection of Johnson and Davis. And coming in from Cantonment on Highway 29, you are seeing a lot of slowdowns in between 10 Mile Road and the I-10 intersection, so expect delays there. On Avalon Boulevard, if you were coming in from Milton trying to get onto I-10, Avalon is backed up for about 2 miles due to a vehicle crash right at the on-ramp to I-10, so expect some delays there if you're coming in. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, I know you're familiar with this story out of Okaloosa County, and I certainly wouldn't ask you to comment on something that involves another law enforcement agency, especially when it's under investigation by FDLE, a challenge that you well know makes it difficult for them to even respond. But you had this airman who winds up getting killed for Hurlburt Special Operations, a gunner from the AC-130Js, winds up getting killed in his home, legally possessing a firearm. Apparently, maybe, we don't know for sure, but it looks like maybe the police responded or the sheriff's responded to the wrong address. Go in and maybe don't announce themselves, and they think he's a threat because he's got a gun. He's just, you know, defending his home that's getting invaded. My question for you is, when SWAT serves a warrant, especially, you know, which they will do for a high danger type situation or possible high danger, what gets done to make sure that you show up at the right place, that you know who the suspect is, and don't inadvertently harm somebody who's not the right person? Because that seems like with, I don't know, hard to read addresses or non-existent address numbering, or, you know, many people look alike. It can be a problem where you don't identify. It seems like the all of it, I can understand how these mistakes happen. What does PPD do to avoid that?
Well, we check, double check, and triple check the location. In fact, on a search warrant, there will be a physical description of the location, the color, how many stories it is, you know, the color of the roof, the color of the bricks, all kinds of things, photographs. Mm-hmm. To hopefully make sure that something like that does not happen.
Okay. Oh, so not just an address, but a very comprehensive description of the target site.
Yes, and the reason for that, obviously, is to make sure that no mistakes are made as far as incorrect addresses.
And the protocol is you have to announce that it is law enforcement, and you have to give them sufficient time to respond to the door. As I understand the Supreme Court cases, that's the state of the law right now?
Yes, and we're not going to go in there with a bunch of unmarked cars. It's going to be uniformed officers. It's going to be marked vehicles. It's going to be very clear during the announcement over the PA who we are, and it's not going to be just a knock one time and then take the door down. So we're going to make sure everybody inside knows that it's the police, and we'll take it from there.
Very good. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth or something like that. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, and I saw this on social media, whether one person asking whether it was illegal or not. And this is the practice of riding around with your feet on the dashboard while the vehicle is in motion.
As a driver, not as a passenger. Passengers, that's fine, but you're talking about as a driver, right?
Well, both. I mean, I've seen both. I've seen a driver with a leg hanging out the window before. And, you know, it's just incredibly unwise. If the vehicle you're in is involved in a collision, the airbags may go off, and they go off between 100 and 200 miles an hour, which means in less than a heartbeat, your knee will be placed beyond your head, and it could hit you right in the face. And if that happens, you're looking at a broken pelvis, eye sockets, legs, face fractures, concussions, and this could be the end result of a very minor traffic collision. So it's just a very dangerous thing to do. Kind of like, you know, when I was a kid, we rode around in the back of pickup trucks, standing up. You know, the parents were up front and the kids had no choice. We're riding in the back, and I can't believe that we're all still here.
You know, my dad used to, for a little while, he did drive training at DriveMaster, and that was one of the things he told me. He's like, all right, don't cross your hands when you're turning in an airbag car, because if something happens, all of a sudden you've got, you know, arm and forehead, basically, to put it very, very delicately, because that's a horrible thing that can happen, and, you know, thinking about that. But, okay, so we get that it's unwise and it's dangerous. Is it illegal?
No.
No,
it's not.
Dang it. So you can legally hang your left foot out the window while you're driving. I assume you can't put both feet up. There's got to be a law that says you can't have both feet away from the pedals. Or am I wrong?
Well, I'm not sure how the car's going to move. That's kind of digging deep in the weeds there. But, you know, it's kind of complicated, especially like in the back of a pickup truck. It's illegal to do that, but you can't be sitting on a cooler on top of a box or something like that. You must be seated on the floor of the pickup truck. So,
interesting.
Yeah, there's some restrictions here and there, but unfortunately that is legal. It's just not a very smart thing to do.
Yeah, and actually I have just one more follow-up. Is yesterday our frivolous topic was, where do you go barefoot? When's your line between barefoot and not? And we talked a little bit about driving without your shoes on. And just to make sure that we're all on the same page, driving in Florida without shoes on, driving barefoot in Florida is legal, right?
Yeah, you can do that too, but you know, and now that you brought that up, it's even more dangerous to drive with like a flip-flop on,
mm-hmm.
because you know, it's hard enough to walk in flip-flops, and driving is the same thing. That flip-flop could be hung under the gas pedal or the brake pedal. There's all kinds of things that have gone wrong like that. So it's actually, it would be safer to drive barefoot than it would be to have some flip-flops or some other sort of shoe like that on.
No, really good point. Good safety tip. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for joining us. Thank you for informing us about the law and what's going on in our city. And we'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Thank you.
7:52 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're trying to decide if now is the right time for you to sell your home, like what's the market doing? Could I get more money by waiting? Will I have to take less money if I wait? Hey, great questions. I don't know. You know, what's the value of the home? What are the comparables? What's the location? What's the market doing in that price range? What's the insurance? What's the insurance market certainly relevant? What's the interest rates doing, right? What's the demand like? Does it matter whether it's in school or whether it's out of school, you know, time-wise? Does it matter about change of station for the military? Like, those are all the various things that affect the price of your home if you're selling it. And I am not the expert on these things. Christina Leavenworth is the expert on these things. She and her professional folks at Levin Rinke Realty, they'll help you make these decisions, answer these questions, and, you know, figure out what works best for you. And if she thinks you can do better in 3 months, she'll tell you that. And if she thinks, now is the time, she'll tell you that too. 175 homes they sold last year, 3.5 a week. That's pretty amazing. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Uh-oh!
You've just discovered you have
rats! Ew! What do I do? How do you get rid of them? I haven't a clue.
To get rid of the rats is no problem at all. The solution's inside Davis Hardware and U-Haul.
Hi, how can we help you?
I have a rat problem.
Oh, rats.
Literally, what do I do?
Davis Hardware and U-Haul employees are real hardware people and know what happens when infestations get out of hand. They have the experience to help you get rid of your, uninvited guests.
Thank you.
Davis Hardware and U-Haul on L Street just off Fairfield in the center of Pensacola.
Mom, can I have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Right now with Joe and Austin, 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Pick it from the left to the right.
Right.
Hit it.
He stepped out of range, got hit by a tree.
He ain't no chicken no more. No.
Good morning, 7:56 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy has got traffic for us. Jimmy?
If you are on Gulf Beach Highway heading eastbound, you are going to see a lot of traffic building up almost all the way to where Sorrento Road is, or the intersection of Gulf Beach Highway and Sorrento Road. It's backed up for about a half mile due to a vehicle crash, so expect delays there. If you're heading northbound on Blue Angel Parkway, you're going to be backed up almost all the way to Gulf Beach Highway, starting at 98. Unclear as to whether that is just regular traffic or an accident causing that. Southbound on Avalon Boulevard, they have closed the left lane going southbound due to a vehicle crash that happened on the on-ramp. Looks like it's clearing up a little bit, but still showing a lot of buildup. About a half mile, probably a mile and a half going back north on Avalon. And on I-10, a vehicle crash heading eastbound right at the Pensacola Boulevard intersection. So if you're heading eastbound on I-10, expect some slowdowns there. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So we got news out of Ukraine. Ukraine is about to get, sometime fairly soon, we think, F-16s, which should dramatically help them in their fight against the Russians. Although it is kind of a weird thing because, like, the F-16, like many modern high-quality military assets, is designed to operate in conjunction with everything else. And so it's not like you can just take a bunch of people and then give them an F-16 and all of a sudden everything works. So we'll see. But meanwhile, the Russians are also getting new military hardware. Well, they're asking for it. Frontline soldiers in Russia are pleading with people back home to send shotguns to the front to deal with drones. And the U.S. is paying attention and now thinking about issuing shotguns as an effective drone defense that nothing else will seem to quite do. So just interesting things that we are learning, in the middle of this horrible, terrible, awful war of aggression by Russia, we're still learning about the modern battlefield and what might be effective for our own needs for engagement. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
States are assessing the damage after severe storms killed three people and left destruction across the South. Tennessee was slammed with four tornadoes yesterday. Tornadoes also reported in Georgia and Alabama. Pfizer has reportedly agreed to settle over 10,000 Zantac lawsuits. Bloomberg reporting that they're settling the lawsuits over a cancer risk connected to the drug.
Thanks so much. I appreciate the update. Coming up next, we'll talk to Lisa Newell, publisher of the Gulf Breeze News. We'll see if we get into the dog park brouhaha from earlier this week.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.